Good morning. Today is Monday, the 19th of June. The year is 2006. And today, and this is More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. And it is approximately 7:37. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Mm-hmm. 90.7 in the city. 91.9 in the Columbia River Gorge, Hood River, Oregon, White Salmon, Washington. 100.7 in the Willamette Valley. And that would be Corvallis, Albany, Salem.
That would be. Woodburn, maybe?
Yeah, you know, if the weather is just right, the wind blows just perfectly, and the sun is at the proper angle, and the planets are aligned, we might make it all the way down to Eugene.
Wow.
It's got to bounce properly, you know.
The bounce.
But if you can't bounce it, you can click it. Yeah, you can click it at www.kboo.fm. Tell your friends that don't live here.
We greet you this morning. We hope that everyone had a safe and healthy weekend. And today is Monday. It's the 19th of June. School is out. So that meant that I had a pretty quiet ride on the bus this morning.
Uh-huh.
Not as crowded or as noisy.
Well, you know, I kind of felt good because I break for areas where you have the 20-mile-an-hour school zone.
Yes.
And I did routinely, reflectively, just hit the brakes. And then a little voice in the back of my head, which at this point was thoroughly trustworthy, said, not today.
Not today.
Usually you're in this battle, you know, because everybody else behind you or beside you is racing and giving you various ugly looks or, you know, one-finger salutes because you're trying to do the school zone limit. And I'm, you know, determined to do it and do that right and then get out of there and hit the speed limit again. And today, I could just ride with the flow, and I didn't have to feel like, you know, I was taking my life into my hands.
Well, and that's wonderful. So we hope that...
No, it's not wonderful, because I'm thinking of all those folks who don't slow down. You know, and I think about the kids who are sitting there watching folks whizzing by, and I'm thinking, you all must have forgotten that this city likes to do stings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a cool thing to go whizzing by, but hey.
So it isn't applicable... When school is
not when school is out of session, it says school days. Unless, of course, you have one of those signs that says 20 miles an hour at all times.
Oh.
Some of them do say that.
Okay. Well, you know, just be aware, be careful, and watch out
for the kids.
For young people.
Yeah, just make it easy. Watch out for the kids.
Now, we have a couple of topics this morning. When we just started talking about the kids, I thought of something else, but maybe not.
Write that one down, and then we'll use it. But any announcements? Let me pull out my flyer folder here, because I know I have a couple.
There are some announcements we have
here
today of events that are coming up. I have none, but Celeste is opening up.
I got two, maybe three. I'm double checking here before I get all happy and excited. I love, you know, good news and things that help bring the community together or stabilize the community. It gives me hope that we actually are trying to put our resources in the right place. Here is one. And it doesn't really indicate a date, but given the fact that it says Project Summer and its main emphasis is on youth, young people, children and teens, ages 1 to 18, I'm going to figure that since school is out, that it must be coming up pretty quickly. What's better than food and fun under the summer sun? Well, free food and fun. Under the summer sun. That's right. This is Project Summer, Everybody Eats. And this is open to all teens, all children under the age of, 18 and under, we'll say. This is a project brought to you by USDA, State of Oregon, who are equal providers and employers. And if you want more information for locations and times, you have a couple of options here. If you have access to the internet, go to www.summerfoodoregon.org. And Summer Food Oregon is one word. Or if you want to do low-tech, you can call 1-800-723-3638. That's 1-800-723-3638. And there is another way of looking at that number, just in case you're numerically challenged this early in the morning, this early in the week. You can dial 1-800-SAFENET, S-A-F-E-N-E-T. And, of course, this information will be up at the front desk. Okay, now that's part one. Part two. Looking for something to do? Looking for some meaningful way to make a contribution to the wellness and health of Portland, Oregon, especially in the inner northeast neighborhoods? Wondering why nobody else is doing anything? Well, check this out. Stop pointing a finger and lend a hand. This is a day of retilling the soil, Saturday, July 8th, a celebration of community spirit and pride to rejuvenate and reawaken the neglected soil of Northeast Portland. On Saturday, July 8th, registration and breakfast began at 8:15 and lasted 8:45. Cleanups take place at three different locations. The cleanups began at 9 o'clock. Then there's a celebration at Irving Park. You know, if you're from the hood, we call it Irvington. That's right, Irvington Park. seriously, though, Irvington Park from 12 noon to 6 p.m. with bands, family fun, and free hot dogs. There will be bands there, music, all kinds of good times for young and old alike. The cleanup groups are located at Northeast Failing at Martin Luther King. You meet at the Hughes Memorial Church, which is at 111 Northeast Failing, or North Albina at Killingsworth. Meet at Jefferson High School, 5210 North Kirby, or 15th Avenue at Killingsworth Street. Meet at the Cornerstone Community Church, 2216 Northeast Killingsworth. For more information, you can contact Larry Collins at 503-752-8356. And, of course, this also will be here at the station if you need more information.
And for those of you who were listening to KBOO last week, I believe Friday, you might have heard on talk radio, you might have heard the interview with Milan Ray, I believe is the name, who's the author of 7/7, The London Bombing, Islam and the Iraq War. There will be a book reading this Wednesday, June 21st, at Laughing Horse Books, which has a new location, 12 Northeast 10th Avenue, just off Burnside. This will take place on Wednesday, June 21st at 7 p.m. Milan Ray is a peace activist, co-founded the Direct Action and Information Group, ARRO, Active Resistance to the Roots of War in 1990, the British branch of the Voices in the Wilderness in 1998, and Justice Not Vengeance in the aftermath of the 2003 invasion of Iraq. Milan was the first person to be arrested for breaking the economic sanction on Iraq for taking children medicines to Iraq without an export license. This event is being co-sponsored, coordinated in Portland by the Peace and Justice Work Iraq Affinity Group. And for more information, you may go to IRAQ at PJW at info or call 503-236-3065. And those are some of the announcements, some of the things that are happening in your community.
All right.
You know, I want to remind those who are listening and who will call shortly after we send the announcements that we are working with a new system here, which is a delay system. So
yes,
when you call and the engineer tells you to hold on, and when you hear Celeste wonderful voice say...
Good morning, you're on the air. Or you hear Cecil's melodious tones. Say the same thing.
That is your clue to...
Turn that radio down.
Turn the radio down.
Yes.
Because it can be confusing.
Yes, and also it can be a little bit disorienting if you leave it up and you're trying to monitor the conversation. So while you're on the air, the moment you hear yourself on the air, go ahead, turn your radio down. You got to position yourself, of course, so you can do so. And then join in the conversation. And we'll give the phone number, 503-231-8187. We have a couple of topics today. We thought that it was time for some communication and conversation around some issues which keep seeming to not only present themselves, but present themselves in a kind of a cyclic fashion here. And one of them has to do with how you, the everyday citizen, and I, the everyday citizen, interact with our city government. We saw an article, I want to say it was in the Tribune, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, that indicated, I hope it was in the Tribune. If it wasn't, it was in the Oregonian. You know, don't write me a letter and complain now.
One of the
newspapers.
Okay. You know.
You know, it starts blending together. But the gist of the article was that people do not feel that their neighborhood associations are particularly representative and don't use them to access city government. Now, the way Portland's city government is designed, you have neighborhood associations that provide the conduits that allow people to have that interaction, to have that input, and to have some kind of, if you will, level of control with what goes on within city government. This is pretty much the main venue, maybe the only venue. There are, on occasions, neighborhood groups outside of neighborhood associations or community groups and organizations that do come together and through various means, whether it's direct protests, direct visits or solicitation or some kind of way interact with city council, they have some input. But as a rule, the neighborhood associations are our way of getting our foot into the door. But a lot of people don't feel like they're viable, or so we're told.
It has been suggested in this article that neighborhood association is an ancient anachronism. It's an old method.
Obsolete.
That may not be as meaningful as a way to access services. That there are other ways and other opportunity community groups.
Other models.
What might have worked in the 1970s may not be applicable for the new millennium.
Or it could be that maybe it still is effective, but there's a disconnect at another level. Part of the outcome, whether... Well, I'll just say part of the outcome and leave it at that. Part of the outcome of the mayor's visioning project is to find different ways of bringing people in to interact with city government. Whether you think city government is doing anything right or doing anything wrong, your opportunity to do so is just as good as a vote. Your opportunity to get involved is just as good as a vote, but a lot of people may not feel that way. We're curious as to how people feel. We're curious, number one, what's your thought about it? Do you think that neighborhood associations work or don't work? Do you think that it's the fact that they're an obsolete model that's keeping them broken down, or the communication not as strong as it should be with the everyday person in the community? Because a lot of people who do attend have to face the scrutiny and the label of being self-selected and not necessarily keyed in or tied in to the broader needs of the community. Sometimes people who do attend are seen as either being self-serving or, you know, limited in their vision, not able to connect with the diversity of the neighborhood. Do you think that there's something else that can be done to improve the way neighbors such as yourself, myself, can connect with government? Do you think that perhaps there needs to be a broader outreach just to let people know that this is the conduit that works? Or do you think that we need to let our voices be heard and come up with a new design? So we're looking at that.
And again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. Are you active in your neighborhood association? Do you find it difficult to access it? Is it an old model that needs to be revisited? Are there other options that people are using to make change in their city and in their community? So give us a call. We know you have a thought and an opinion on those on this topic.
On this topic, okay. Now, here's number two. Traditionally, leadership used to be looked at as an exalted position in that all of the resources of the city or the town or the burg were brought forth to educate the leaders so the leaders would have a very broad and deep scope and vision. Also, leaders were expected to have exemplary personalities and virtue and character and what have you. And if no other reason than to serve as an example to everyone, see if this person can do it, you can do it, or I can do it. You know, that's what we heard from our parents. That's what we heard from the elders in our community or our family. So then, on occasion, because after all, despite leadership's golden history of being passed down or given to the people who possess some kind of divine ability or calling, humanity or human nature rears its head, and sometimes leadership takes a fall. The curious thing, though, is some leaders are able to pick themselves up and to go back into business and to regain the trust of the community and to be as effective, if not more effective, than ever. They rise like a phoenix from the flame and the ashes of their career to recreate themselves and to create sometimes a very strong and stronger vision and pull people toward greatness. Some crash and burn. They never make it out of the doldrums, so to speak. And it makes us sometimes suspect not only of the whole institution of leadership, but especially the idea that we hold our leaders to a quote-unquote higher standard. Maybe that's not possible. Maybe it's not feasible. Maybe it's not as good of a way of considering that exalted position or not, that office or not. However, regardless of it, I'm curious as to what your thoughts are on as to what it takes for leadership to regain confidence in your eyes. We've got a lot of examples right now in front of us in the administration of the federal government that give us pause and make us think that leadership is not only running amok, you know, and does not have our best interests at heart, but there's no way possible that any kind of confidence could be restored or reinstated. However, some people may feel that an appropriate mea culpa here, you know, my fault, I'm sorry, there is all that it takes to bring the luster back to the office and the name of a tarnished leader.
And these examples are not only in the federal government, but mm-hmm. also in the state and local government. There are several examples that I'm sure you may want to point to. We had a recent election here in the region, which was an example of people making critical decisions about the nature of leadership. And so whether leadership is effective, whether or not people can reinvent themselves. Let me give two examples of things that have been happening recently locally. One is in within the Multnomah County government in and of itself. We had a recent election where the chair ran for re-election. She was handily defeated by a person who had never ran for office before. And part of the issue was her leadership style.
Mm-hmm. Was it inclusive and collaborative, or was it top-down model?
Or was it top-down? And some of that continues after her election. So
mm-hmm.
the recent discussion and continuing discussion around programs for Multnomah County in terms of how they impact children. There is a lot of brouhaha over that, and people are asking whether leadership is effective or not.
Or dysfunctional. Yeah, I love that word, brouhaha. Uh-huh.
And then, of course, there's the in this Portland city itself, in the leadership itself. Celeste mentioned the mayor's visioning process, and we recently had the case of the chief of police being demoted, and so around issues of leadership and leadership style.
And around allegations of improper behavior befitting the station or the position.
The position
of chief.
So those are just some examples. You
mm-hmm.
probably have more. Give us a call at 503-231-8187.
Yes, and the only thing we ask is that you kind of stick to that 3-minute limit, so we get a lot of folks in. This is our chance to talk. No authors, just us. Get you a cup of coffee, tea, you know, your morning beverage, and come on and sit down at the electronic coffee table. 503-231-8187.
Referring back to the first topic we mentioned in terms of neighborhood association, perhaps you could give us, and maybe in terms of disclosure, you
mm-hmm.
have some association with neighborhood association.
I like that. I have
and
some association.
You could tell
yeah.
us how they work or how they're supposed to work.
Well, let me give a thumbnail sketch. You know, I don't want to bore people and go too much into it. We have approximately, I want to say, 95 neighborhood associations and some unincorporated areas that have organization to them. And what they do is meet and address various issues within their geographical areas, such as crime or livability. And those terms are a little bit amorphous, you know, depending on your perspective. Maybe they're one and the same. But that's just one. Land use is another. Issues that basically pertain to the well-being and planning of land and resources, allocation of some level of resources. And the way that people are able to come together, discuss their common good, and bring those concerns forth to city council.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a thumbnail sketch. I mean, very simple. Like I said, there are organizations, whether they are business organizations, business associations, social when I say social organization, I should say social service organizations or social organizations, put it that way, clubs or lodges or what have you, they may find that they work best outside of that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have some groups that maybe don't necessarily impact that way. They have found other avenues. For the everyday ordinary citizen, though, who may not have the power of collaborative effort and collaborative approach that any other organization or agency would give them, they may feel a little bit left out of the loop. And they may feel left out of the loop if their neighborhood association does not either work to be inclusive or doesn't know how to include them, or maybe is inclusive, but they're just missing the boat some kind of way. And that leads a lot of people to believe, when looking at both the demographics and then just the numbers, the percentages of participation, that perhaps the paradigm is no longer effective. And so part of the effort has been to both step up outreach,
mm-hmm.
but then also solicit input to find out, is the mechanism broken?
I know in my neighborhood, there has been recent concerns around a social service agency which seeks to open up another facility. And it's interesting how people began talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
There was, and again, I'm not active in my neighborhood association.
Why? No, you'd be a great case story. I'll let you finish your story first, and then we'll ask that.
But it was, I mean, people were leaving information about meetings on the doorsteps and things like that, out of concern, because they were arguing that our neighborhood is, there are too many of those type of agencies serving people.
Social service agency,
and that this might, I think there was some fear that this might a certain lower property value, but also might contribute to increase in crime. And I had one friend of mine who's been somewhat active generally, who took it upon herself to talk to some of the neighborhood association activists to give a different perspective. But then there are people like me who, I received a neighborhood newsletter, but I've never attended a meeting.
Okay. Well, we have a couple of callers in the bank, but when we come back, I do want to ask you why, because I think it shed a little light, you know, because for one of the issues that's been leveled against the whole neighborhood association structure is that it's not diverse enough. It doesn't reach a lot of pockets of minorities because it doesn't address concerns that are important to them. And so I'm curious to hear what you've got to say, and then a little bit more about what you found, for example, in your neighborhood around how people are galvanized around issues. And then don't forget, folks, we're also talking about just the idea of leadership recapturing the support and I guess I'll just limit it to support right now, but I mean, if you want to talk in terms of admiration or any types of other aspects of concern or care that we offer our leaders, you can throw that in there too. 503-231-8187. You are listening to KBOO 90.7 Portland.
And we'll go to our first caller. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Juneteenth.
Indeed. Uh-huh. Happy Juneteenth. We might need to tell folks what that's about later.
The neighborhood associations that I've been aware of for a long time did not represent at all the community at large, but they were used to rubber stamp whatever was going on, such as drug-free zones or whatever. And I find it curious now that some neighborhood associations are becoming more aware of the diverse community's needs and their perceptions of things that are going on. And now all of a sudden the neighborhood associations are kind of, as long as they were going along with the program, so to speak, then everything was fine. But now, because there are some that are being a little more actively involved in including more vision of people in their community, now they're being dismissed, so to speak. I find that very interesting.
So any particular neighborhood that you feel has kind of come under that kind of scrutiny that...
Well, I don't know which one it is. It was one in Southeast Portland that's more actively... it includes more of the regular people, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I know the ones that I was involved in were... I was kind of amazed at how they did not represent the community at large, but were their word and their decisions were carried so much weight with the city on things like the drug-free zone. That their support was used to push those things along, you know, like when the deputy DA presented the drug-free zones to the city council, the neighborhood association support was very valuable at that time. Mm-hmm. It just depends on what it is and what you're doing, I guess, whether they're valuable or not. That's the impression I got.
Now, in terms of
There was some neighborhood associations who finally realized that this was an unconstitutional thing going on and actually chose to vote against it.
Well,
and then
know.
I saw that all of a sudden, you know, within just a few months after that, do the neighborhood associations really represent the community at large? Well, that was the problem in the first place. But why did it take a change in their actions for that question to be asked by whomever the powers that be are?
One of the things that came up, though, with regard to the neighborhood associations and the drug-free zone, as you said, was the fact that it had been considered unconstitutional, but it's met the test of constitutionality.
No, it hasn't.
It has. That's why it's been reinstated.
No, it hasn't.
It has been reinstated.
It has been tweaked to meet the...
To meet the standards that would allow it to be constitutional.
That made it unconstitutional. Every time any judge decides that certain portion of it is unconstitutional, it'll be tweaked to fix that part.
Well,
overall, like the one that was in Ohio that was fashioned after ours, because there's different judges and different minds, I guess, in the Fourth Circuit Court and over there.
All I know, ma'am, is that it is in effect. You know.
Well, I think you like it for some reason. I don't know exactly.
No,
why.
I don't have to like it. I'm just trying to state a fact that it is that it has met the test of constitutionality. But I have a different question I'm trying to ask you, and this will get us bogged down. What was your level of participation in the neighborhood associations?
Let me finish my question now. I don't know how long your question is. Go ahead.
Since neighborhood participation in the neighborhood associations is pretty much self-selecting, people can participate if they want, and if they don't, then they lose the opportunity to have their voice heard.
Right.
It's really important for people to step up to the plate and be involved.
Right.
And so you said that you had been involved. What would you say?
I was involved, very actively involved in a neighborhood association for probably 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And I found that it was very time consuming and you had to be on top of it. And I noticed that, and I think this is something that is definitely wrong in probably a lot of communities, that in order for people who maybe don't have the time or the resources to go to all these meetings, that they are not represented. And what concerns me is that unless people do go, their rights and their lives are not respected.
And that's what I'm trying to get to.
Respect should happen whether or not people can go to these meetings. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, now that's what I'm looking for.
A select few people decide they represent the community, so whatever they say goes, and because other members of the community don't have the time to go to these meetings, then they just have to go along with it.
Okay.
That's not representative at all.
All right, that's what I was looking for. Thank you so much.
So one day the drug-free zones will be determined to be fully unconstitutional, and then maybe some people will get some reparations for the way their rights were violated.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That caller mentioned one point in response to your question was that attending and being on top is very time consuming. So if you have children and working and
you're working two jobs because you're only able to make a certain amount of money, not enough to give you the leisure time to pursue civic duties.
And, you know, not only attending the meeting, but doing the prep work before that and after the meetings. Okay, that's one concern.
Okay, so now what could neighborhood associations do? What can the city do to help offset that? That's another thought that we'll put on our plate here as we have this discussion. If you want to join in, 503-231-8187 here on Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland.
And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. My point is that is even more basic, because I live in the King neighborhood, have been for 7 years now, and I think the last time I learned that there were any neighborhood association meetings or anything was 1 or 2 years ago. I got a schedule of meetings, and that's because I went to a some sort of community fair or gathering that was happening,
mm-hmm.
and I picked up a schedule, but I haven't, and admittedly, I didn't make it to any of those meetings,
mm-hmm.
but I've been interested and just haven't learned about any meetings at all since then. And just a real basic communication piece seems to be missing for residents.
And you lived there for a number of years?
7 years.
Now, when you found out about the neighborhood association meetings, how did you find out? And then what kind of means did you yourself take to kind of keep in the loop?
Well, I didn't really keep in the loop. I got a list. It was a schedule of meetings
mm-hmm.
that were, it was at a community fair of some sort mm-hmm. that happened at the King School a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the dates and times of the meetings for the next 6 or 12 months or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed very interesting. I wasn't able to make those times. It didn't work for me because
right.
of just life schedule.
Right.
But,
right.
But that's how I found out about it.
And I
should also mention that I haven't received, I don't get any news, haven't got any newsletters. I read all my mail and
mm-hmm.
I just haven't learned anything.
That's a good point. One, you receive information a number of years ago, just happenstance, you picked it up, and in terms of ongoing communication, you haven't received any phone calls or newsletters.
Not even close.
Okay. And so given that, what's been your level of participation in terms of trying to seek out information? I know at neighborhood fairs and community tablings, it's a little bit easier to find the information, but you sound like somebody who's able to kind of pick things up kind of savvy. Have you just got not enough time to look for the information or not enough outlets to find the information?
Well, it actually, just listening to your program this morning made me think I should call the neighborhood. There's a northeast, I guess, coalition office, and they might know about when the meeting is, when
mm-hmm.
the next meeting is, but that just occurred to me.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like, I don't get up in the morning thinking about when's my neighborhood meeting.
Right. I mean, there's so many more things. But, what I'm trying to do is get a little bit at the root causes of why people who really sound interested and are concerned about issues find it hard to connect.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Okay. Thank you.
Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Our last caller mentioned that he's certainly a concerned citizen, but hasn't received information about when meetings are scheduled or newsletters about his neighborhood association. We'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about, you said, the leadership in Oregon. First
yes.
of all, the leadership, the leadership for change needs, first of all, need to come from the black, need to come from black people. I think that I think white people or the Caucasian race are incapable of constructive leadership. I mean, it's obvious that look at America. I mean, it's a young empire, and it's in major league trouble, and that's due to white leadership. And so I think, first of all, if change is going to come, it has to come from people that have been oppressed. And one thing in particular I want to talk about is the chief of police. It seems to me that, and I don't know where his mind it was, but it seems to me that this brother was used in the beginning and in the end. That Perez guy got shot and that other woman got shot, and there was this big political fervor, then they needed to bring somebody black and put them out front to show the world that Oregon wasn't a racist society and there wasn't anything internally going on to systematically attack black people. So they put a black guy out front to appease everybody. And then once the all of that died down and they no longer needed him, then they pulled something out of his past now to go and get rid of him because he done served his purpose. So now they can pushing back to the curve now and bring, you know, somebody else aboard. And the leadership is not going to get any better, because I don't care if it's a female, she still have that same mindset that most Europeans have. And it's about power, control, and money. It ain't about nothing else. And that's the culture that is in place right now.
Let me ask you, you began by saying that in terms of really for real change to happen, that leadership needs to come from oppressed people or black people, you said. Where do you see that leadership in Portland?
No, because first of all, black people that are in a position to affect change, all they want to do is assimilate. Mm-hmm. They just want the same thing. Okay. They don't really want change. So I don't think that the black leadership, the black bourgeois, is going to do it. I think it has to be from a grassroots level, people that really want real changes. And I think part of where the weakness have came is the preachers, the black ministers. They're not as political as they was at one point. You know, it needs to come from them too.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
mm-hmm.
No,
I just said mm-hmm.
Yes.
And also too, just now I think KTMS is just now starting to get off the music kick and start putting on people that's going to discuss real issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. I went to BET website the other night, and the first thing that struck me was so appalling is that they had a link on their website to the military. You know, so they're sitting there recruiting African Americans to go over there and fight for this system that it obviously is not for us. And so it's that kind of thing that's going on. I mean, I can go on and on. You're talking about...
Well, let me ask you, because this weekend, one thing that happened in the community was Juneteenth celebration, and I think that was pretty much grassroots.
Uh-huh.
Did you participate or have?
I went up there, and the one thing that was obvious from the get-go is that as far as the media was concerned, it was a non-event, because you didn't see any of it on the 6 o'clock news. You didn't see no media over there. So whatever we do, unless it's dealing with some kind of criminality, it's a non-issue.
Right? Isn't that the point of grassroots leadership?
Is to get that word out.
And you start from the ground level up, and before they know it, you know, something
right.
has happened. So.
So, you know, that's my perspective. I just, you know, I appreciate, you know, the our allies, you know, especially our white allies and all, but, you know, I think that they're limited, because their model... And if you notice that when white people talk about progressive other whites, how come Jim Brown, the white people never talk about Jim Brown? It's amazing to me. I mean, how many times in your life have you heard a white person talk about, John Brown, the guy that tried to free the slaves? He's just like, he got lost in history somewhere because he was trying to really do something. White people don't talk about John Brown. And so, that's what I'm talking about.
Right. You know, our engineer just passed us a note.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about BET.
Mm-hmm.
And he just reminded us, isn't BET owned by a white person? So.
Oh, it's sold. Okay, now maybe it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it had been sold.
So,
okay,
yeah.
But all right. Well, anyway, that's all I got.
All right. Well, thanks for your call. You know, if it had not been for time limitations, I wanted to ask the caller what were some avenues that he thought grassroots efforts could really make some inroads
mm-hmm.
into power, and maybe recommend some places that he thought that grassroots efforts should focus on or people could be recruited into. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city, 91.9 in the Columbia River Gorge, in the Willamette Valley, 100.7 on the web, kboo.fm. This is More Talk Radio with Cecil and myself, Celeste. Today we're talking about leadership. How does leadership that has fallen recapture the confidence of the people, recapture the fire and the support of the people? Can it? Is it overstated once it's fallen? Is it just done, passé, gone? And then curious, taking my unofficial poll, if you will, to find out how people can get together and have, I guess, a voice of leadership from the grassroots perspective through neighborhood associations. Is that an effective structure or system? Is it passé? Is it workable, but the city and the people don't know how to work it? Why isn't John Q. and Nancy Q. Public engaged in the neighborhood associations? Why not? And we'd love to hear your calls, 503-231-8187. And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Just fine. My goodness, you had that that drip espresso, didn't you?
No, Mr. Lest, I drink a mixture of chicory and coffee.
All right.
Nolan coffee.
Okay.
That Nolan stuff.
Oh, baby, let me tell you. That and a little sweetened condensed milk, and I'm floating around on cloud nine here.
Okay, well, we're trying to catch up with you.
Okay, good, okay. A couple of things.
Okay.
When we first bought our house in the Richmond neighborhood, we were involved in our neighborhood association.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. We found that our neighborhood association was a magnet and a conduit for people who had political ambition.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yeah,
all right.
They are.
All right. And our problem was that all of a sudden we found ourselves in a mix of people who were pushing a specific political agenda,
mm-hmm.
Which was not necessarily for the betterment of the neighborhood, but for their own, I hate to say self-aggrandizement, but for their own political ambitions.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way it generally works is, okay, you go to the neighborhood association meetings, you become president of the neighborhood association. The next step in the process is you run for the school board, and you get on the school board and start your climb up the political ladder.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's not necessarily a good thing for the neighborhood. So my wife and I, after 6 or 7 months of this caca, decided that we are no longer interested in this, because this isn't for the betterment of the neighborhood. It's for the betterment of the person or persons who are pushing a specific political agenda.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have mentioned one of the reasons I hear very often as to why people are not engaged. And I want to just kind of plumb your depths here, so don't take this personally. I'm
okay.
Just trying to get some information.
Sure.
What were some of the main reasons why you or others did not use the system to remove these really, shall we say, self-focused and self-promoting people?
Well, it was just one right after another.
Okay, okay.
You know,
that's fair.
And it's like it's like overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Francis said at the very beginning, you know, voices are shut out, and it seems that the person who talks the loudest is the person who gets the attention. It's like like the squeaky wheel that gets the grease.
Right.
You know? Okay. My involvement now, I'm still involved in the neighborhood association. I deliver the newsletters.
Oh.
All right? And I'm finding that I do a certain sector of my neighborhood,
yeah.
And I'm finding that by delivering the newsletters and talking one-to-one with my neighbors certainly has much more effect than a political system who is just in it for its own good.
So let me ask you, because you are still involved in your neighborhood association,
yeah.
But not so much in going to the meetings? Or
no, we don't go anymore.
Okay.
Because Cecil and Celeste, it's basically like you're beating the dead horse,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's about one thing.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know,
yeah.
And then with the Neighborhood Association's newsletter, how effective a means of keeping people up to date is that, given the fact that the agenda and the issues brought forth might not be really the issues that people need to hear about or want to hear about?
Well, it's not my decision for other people to make about how they want to be involved.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I deliver my newsletters when I know that people are going to be home.
Gotcha.
Right.
So you just talk about what their issues are.
Right. And mm-hmm. I knock on, and instead of throwing it on the front steps,
mm-hmm.
I knock on the door.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And I make face-to-face contact.
Mm-hmm.
And with that face-to-face contact and conversation,
right.
Do you take it back to the neighborhood association,
no.
or do
oh,
you
no,
use
no.
it as some
no.
other
no. no, 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 no. That's totally not up to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. That's up to the person.
Okay. Right.
All right. I let them know when the meetings are, yada, 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 yada. And if they have issues,
mm-hmm.
They can get up with their duff and go.
Okay.
So despite the fact that you may not be as thrilled with the potential for being engaged,
mm-hmm.
you still encourage people to go and get engaged.
Right on.
Okay.
Oh,
great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And you're listening to KBOO FM. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. This morning we're talking about leadership. What type is effective? How is it,
how does it regroup after a bad fall?
After a bad fall?
I've fallen and I can't get up.
I can't get up. And also, neighborhood association, have they lost their effectiveness?
So what kind of effective means do you find for galvanizing community interest and support and education?
And if you're not involved in neighborhood association but consider yourself a community-involved person, what are those other venues that you
uh-huh.
use to make sure that your voice is heard?
Yeah, do you think they're effective?
We'll go to our next caller. Good morning, and thank you for waiting.
Good morning. Hello?
And we'll try
hello.
The next caller. Good morning.
Hello?
Okay.
Hello.
Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Give us a call.
Yeah, don't let that delay system throw you off. Yeah, we are talking to you, and if you're in doubt, say, hey, you're talking to me. Yeah, well, that's out of a movie. Taxi driver.
Yes.
Robert De Niro.
Hey, you talking to me?
Hey, you talking to me? Hey, we're talking to you.
Okay. We're talking to you. We encourage you to give us a call at 503-231-8187.
And talk back.
I thought it was interesting, the last caller, because
uh-huh.
he said he found that in neighborhood association that there were people who were there for their own political career.
Uh-huh.
One thing that, and I'm not surprised at that.
I'm not surprised. And
in
it's
any
an
organization.
Expectation. Right, right.
The challenge is how do you use that
How do you channel it? How do you challenge it when it's no longer seeking the general good? How do you, reconnect it
mm-hmm.
to the greater good? Is it even possible? Sometimes people get so far out in whatever field, outfield, with their interests, their efforts, and the work that they're no longer connected at all to their parent organization, their neighborhood example, neighborhood association, for example. There we go.
Okay.
Let go of Monday mouth here. And so maybe you can't rein them in. Maybe your only solution is to semi-detach yourself. But we're curious to find out what kind of remedies, solutions, alternatives you have.
And also if you have a point to make about political leadership in this town,
uh-huh.
we'll hear that as well. We'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
It's Monday. I'm good.
Okay. Well, I'd like to explain a bit of my background in this area, and I don't want to say which groups I've been involved with so I can be
so we can't come after you, huh? Okay.
I was amongst the groups that put together one neighborhood association which had never had any representation at all. And then I served, and I was their first president for 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I served on another neighborhood association as their vice president. I never wanted to be president of that one. I could have had it, but after 3.5 years, I'd kind of had enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was on a coalition board, so I spent almost 10 years doing this, and one of my frustrations was that we couldn't really do outreach, because if you do, when you're president or vice president, if you take care of the things that you need to take care about, organizing the meetings and all the mail you get stacks of mail, by the time as a volunteer and not being paid, you don't have any time to do outreach. You have no money to do outreach. You get at the max like 2 or 3 newsletters per year because the city doesn't give you very much money. And so it's a time factor for the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
If you get involved in a major issue, and I was involved in several major issues, that is just wipes your time out.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And then the other thing that I have to say about minorities, and I have been involved in efforts, and I know that everybody is busy, but it is very difficult to get minorities to come out. And I don't fully understand why that's true. I just know that it's true. You can make efforts, and I've seen groups really make efforts and even hiring people to go door to door, and you still get almost nobody. And the last thing I have to say, when you are a democracy, which we are really not, by the way, and I don't want to get into that issue. That's a whole, we are
that's a whole nother hour conversation, yep.
Yeah, and I don't want to get into it. We are a representative, and so that's always awkward. But if you want to have your voice heard, you got to make some effort to do it. And that's just the, that is just the way any system works. So if you stay home, how can your voice be heard? Because nobody knows what you think.
You know, when you were talking about a couple of things, one, the amount of time it takes to participate fully in a volunteer organization, and I really honor you for doing that, but I also appreciate in terms of how much time it is. I was wondering, in terms of the time it takes for you to do outreach, and you said people, you know, make a good faith effort and people don't participate. Have you found out why they don't? Is it because people don't like to go to meetings, or
issues aren't relevant, bad meeting times, culture just not approachable, culture of the neighborhood association? I mean,
well, if you have issues like in this area, because we were going through the sewer. So if you held a sewer meeting, you got a large meeting.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to talk about prostitution, you'll get a large meeting.
Right.
So it's very issue-oriented.
Right.
And one of the things that neighborhood associations also do, and I think this is kind of what they do fairly well, there's an organization that if something comes up in the neighborhood, you have some people who are knowledgeable about how to do the system, who are available to help you when you need it.
Right, that's true.
And that's one of the valuable things they do. The last thing I want to say, because I could talk for a long time about this, is the way it's set up in the city of Portland is exactly designed to make sure that the neighborhood associations have really, is they can advise, but they have no real power about anything. Eugene, and I only have 3 minutes, is set up so they actually have some power and actually some funds that they can assign for what they want to do. Here, it's always the city council is always in control.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I'll have to study that, Eugene.
And Neil Goldschmidt hired somebody from Eugene, and he came up with a system which would have been the Eugene system, and Goldschmidt killed it. And I happen to know that was true because one of the people who helped me in my leadership was a woman who was who was one of the first neighborhood coordinators, and I got that.
And this was when Goldsmith was mayor?
What?
When Goldsmith was mayor of Portland?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And I've kind of used up my time, and I know I've made a lot of issues. I've tried to cover broadly, but I was very frustrated when I was chair that I couldn't do the outreach, and I had to depend on who came, and sometimes when the issue would come up, then somebody would find out about it 2 months from now, and they'd come down and scream at us, well, you're not representing me. And that was really tough for us to take, although we learned to take it, because we wanted to represent the community accurately. But if we didn't know what the concern was,
right,
it was very difficult for us to represent.
Sure.
And so I've kind of made my major point. So I'm kind of, I think they still serve a useful function because they provide some information to the city council or to the bureaucracy. And if you build up a relationship as the leader that you're accurate and you try to report all sides, not just your point of view, then you can acquire a lot of clout. And some people resented that I had a lot of clout with the city. Well, I really had none. I was just a good reporter about what was going on within the neighborhood. And I really tried. I really tried hard to represent all of the points of view that I was aware of.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call, and thank you for your service.
Sure. Thank you.
And you are listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We're talking about neighborhood association and how accessible they are, whether they are effective, and also in terms of political leadership. When does it succeed? When does it fail? And what are the consequences of those things? The last caller spoke out of his concern, his efforts to be an effective member of his community by working through and in his neighborhood association. And he expressed some of the frustration and a little bit of the joys of those participation. A question I suppose I can ask of you, Celeste, is in terms of a neighborhood association, what are their purposes? How accessible are they? And in terms of funding, how are they funded?
In terms of funding, they get money through their coalition or, well, coalition offices through the city. The city basically grants some monies. I think it's roughly $1,000 that each neighborhood association has access to. And I say roughly because I think it depends on a couple of other factors and variables. But basically, that money can be used for outreach. The other thing, you asked, how accessible are they? Well, see, that's a very good point. And I would say somewhere from maybe the 50s through perhaps the 80s, middle 80s, that 9-to-5 paradigm might have held sway in terms of who was working and then maybe not working as much from 5 in the evening until, you know, the quote-unquote traditional bedtime. Nowadays, from the 90s, at least the mid-80s, but from the 90s now, people are working not only different shifts just because of the changes in manufacturing and shifts, but more importantly, working two jobs.
Yeah.
You know, and so they don't have access. And even though they might have evening meetings, maybe evening is not the best time. Maybe there ought to be some other kind of system. We live in the electronic age. How difficult is it for each coalition perhaps to have some means of accessing a meeting electronically or leaving their concerns or their issues electronically, and that can be retrieved? Of course, that might then require a paid person perhaps, because what else did we hear people say? I don't have time. Those who are dedicated, if they're working people, working class people, they don't have the time to keep the machinery of the neighborhood association moving. They have to do a hit and miss, you know. If they have a lot of time on their hands, that's a benefit maybe that particular group or their particular interest, you know, the person with the most time, their interest might blossom. Other concerns may not. And so then there's the issue, well, how is the work spread among the various members? How active are the members? How much time do they have? How easy is it to access the time? There are so many factors that need to be looked at. And so it's, in a way, it's a daunting task, but in another way, it's such a necessary task. This is the kind of task that keeps your people plugged in and your government vital.
Okay. And we'll go to our next caller. Thank you for waiting. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, I've been involved in my neighborhood association off and on for quite a few years, and there's a few things that are going on there. And one thing that I came to the conclusion after working on a citizens working group where I represented my neighborhood association and several were represented in the zoning process for what was going on in my part of town was is that democracy is for those who show up.
That's true. 88% of life.
And, you know, a lot of people, they get bored and they don't show up. The other thing is that people on the left, people that are liberals, tend to not crave power. And so then it's easy for them to stop working within the system because it's boring. And I've noticed, like the one gentleman said, that the neighborhood association isn't set up for that much empowerment. In a lot of ways, it is, does, there's an illusion that neighborhood associations have effect in Portland. But the couple of things that people could find useful, I think, and one is that if you want to go to the neighborhood association or get involved as a precinct committee person in your political party or at the peace and justice group in your church, is to, one, get a copy of Robert's Rules of Order, or do like I do, and did, rather, and go to the library and read it and find out how they work, how it works, because people don't like it, but actually, after being in meetings run by consensus, I can really see the value of Robert's Rules of Order, you know.
You know, a meeting run by consensus is an oxymoronic statement. It doesn't run.
Well, yeah.
It might crawl.
Well, yeah, it can real easily lead to the tyranny of one.
Uh-huh.
And that's, and once again, it's for the one that wants it the most, they just stick there and stick there. And what happens is it destroys organizations and people go away.
That's true.
Another thing is that to go to Toastmasters, and this is something I have to go back to doing, when you learn how to construct a speech, how to frame your argument, you learn persuasive speaking, you learn how to be on a panel, and it can really get tools for you can be effective.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
Once you get there and get involved in your neighborhood association, there's, you know, in some areas of town, there's organization or land use chairs for that area.
Yes.
Some neighborhood associations are better than others. There's some that are very well organized and have many different committees that meet at different times, like you all were referring to earlier, which is a good thing because different people have different availability. There's the chairs meeting that the different offices of neighborhood involvements have. And these are all different venues where you can learn more about leadership and work with other people other than just your neighborhood association, but coalitions of neighborhood associations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've known a lot of people, they just get discouraged in neighborhood associations. But, you know, people in any organization have political agendas. And that's okay because that's how it works. But yes, you know, people think that they can do things better. They think that they can make the neighborhood better, or they can make life better for people. And the ones that really want to accomplish that tend to be the ones that stay there. And it's, you know, it's important. You know, there's, I've had a friend that's a socialist, and he used to run, be the chair of his neighborhood association. They had really, really good meetings and really good speakers. And some neighborhoods do, and the thing is to not to get ground down, illegitimate non-carborundum.
Mm-hmm. Just, yeah, you know you have to translate that Latin for us.
Oh, can I say that word on the radio?
Okay, well, maybe not.
I'll trust
your discretion.
Don't let the, and illegitimate is the word that refers to that, get you down.
That's right.
And So you know, and I know we got the same kind of people in my neighborhood association that bore the meeting to tears until people stopped coming back. But the thing is to keep your eye on the prize. You know, cable listeners feel that the world should be a more humane place, and the thing is that there's other people that have their agendas, and you do learn how to speak to people, and you do learn after a while how to be effective. And just when people want to bring up homophobia or fear of immigrants or whatever in your neighborhood association, then you have to do your gut check and get up and say why you think this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it is your opportunity to do something on a basic level. And like I said, there's other organizations too. It might be the Peace and Justice Committee of your church. It could be the political party you belong to. Now that's when it gets really bad, because there's people that really do have agendas. But
yeah,
the thing is
like you're expected to. That's part of the process.
All it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And I forget who said that, but Martin Luther King, there's a quote from him too that says that, you know, everybody needs to get involved. And there's actually a couple of them, and I can't remember them specifically at the moment.
But you've given us some great advice, and I thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
You know, one of the most important things that the caller said was to practice your effect. And he gave you two venues for doing that, one of those being Robert's Rules of Order. Okay, yes, it might seem a little bit stifling and order-bound. However, once you become very sophisticated and practice with it, when you find somebody that's up giving that moribund speech and you're just about to nod on off, remember, there's things like point of order, point of information, yada, 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 that'll allow you to interject. Or at least to kind of break up that flow in an orderly process so that you can perhaps get the process back on track. And Toastmasters is also accessible to people. Toastmasters is an organization in which you get together with people and you learn how to speak in public and use the various forms of speech to excite, exhort, persuade, you know, inveigle.
Okay.
Coax people into a particular perspective. So take advantage of that. And then finally, I want to get this out here because we're getting close to time. There are two avenues for getting information about what goes on in Portland. Take time, even if you have to go to the library or wherever, and visit the Portland website. It's portlandonline.com. That's one word, portlandonline.com. Explore it. There is a wealth of information there. And not only that, if you click on each one of the city council members' faces, you know, they have their own pages, which talks about their projects. But do that. Take time to find out what's going on. And then number two, if you ever need anything in the city or the county by way of information, there's a magic number that will open up doors for you. It is the information and referral number, and that number is 503-823-4000. So whether you like what's going on in the city or not, get involved. Make your voice heard. Whether you think grassroots leadership is not being effective, whether you think that any particular zone in your neighborhood is unconstitutional, whether you think that there are too many people with a political agenda and they're becoming obstructionistic to real issues in the community, get involved.
You know, it occurs to me as we wind down our conversation this morning that it has been mostly focused on Portland and to some degree Multnomah County. I would encourage those of you who are listening who do not live within Portland or Multnomah County.
Or the hat off nod to Eugene.
That there are ways that this is a discussion about citizens' involvement in their community. So while it may not be particularly applicable to your situation, the general thrust of this conversation is how do we encourage citizen participation and how do we make sure that our activities affect political change in our communities. It begins, I think, by talking with our neighbors and those around us. As I was leaving this morning, I chatted a few minutes with a neighbor who happens to be a city employee. But also how I found out about the concern of within my neighborhood about social service agency was talking to a neighbor. So many of us cannot go to these meetings, but we can stay informed about those activities. Let me remind those of you who are listening that coming up here at KBOO at 9 is the OMO Variety Hour. At 10 is the food show, and hear about nutrition program for women, infant, and children, or WIC.
WIC.
They haven't cut that yet?
Thank God.
Okay.
Okay.
Just checking.
That and the free food for the summer. Thank God. We can eat at least.
Also on the food show is a short feature about the Interstate Farmers Market and an interview with Farmer John. At 11 on Democracy Now!, there's an interview with Carol Williams, one of the three journalists the U.S. has barred from the military prison at Guantanamo Bay, and that isn't closed yet.
No, it's not. You know, there's been a lot of noise about closing it. You know, I didn't finish some of the reading that I was doing about how some folks, some of our elected leaders, consider the deaths of the prisoners to be a ruse or to be publicity-seeking. You know, so I think that might have been a red herring thrown out there to kind of slow down any process of closing the prison. So who knows? You know, just when you start getting some critical mass and momentum in a direction, the powers that be are good at having roadblocks.
Well, you know, one thing that I heard in church yesterday was a talk by someone who's involved with Amnesty International. And it's a reminder that, you know, they're a nonpartisan human rights advocacy group, and they look at human rights violation anywhere, including Guantanamo Bay. Mm-hmm. So in point of fact that there are thousands, tens of thousands of activists right now who are working to close that prison camp is a sign of encouragement. And let me finish. Also on Democracy Now! Is New York Times columnist Paul Krugman speaks on the new class war in America.
So the new class war?
The new class war.
Oh, my goodness, is another one?
We're
reeling from the first two or three or four or five. Wow.
Well.
Anyway.
I thought this was an interesting conversation around leadership and neighborhood association. I was wondering if you could give us again those contact information for Portland.
Absolutely. The website is www.portlandonline.com. Portland Online is one word, no hyphens. That is the city's website. And you can find a wealth of information leading to a lot of information about bureaus, city services, elected officials, everything Portland. And if you are wanting to do low-tech and human communication, 503-823-4000. 823-4000 is information and referral, and that is your doorway to information about all things City of Portland or the County of Multnomah. So the city, county, information, and referral. And use those to connect, to get involved, to do what you can to make changes. It's sometimes frustrating, and we've heard all the obstacles that people have faced, but, you know, that really does not excuse you from your obligation for civic duty and participation.
We have a couple of minutes. Let's get this last call in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, your thoughts and comments.
Hi, I thought that last caller did a great job of reminding people of ways to get involved with the neighborhood association.
Mm-hmm.
But he also reminded me of some other things. I'm a board member with a food co-op.
Hello.
And part of being a board member is we're responsive to our member owners.
Mm-hmm.
And that can become a role where the forum is pretty much open for possible political activism, but more so meeting their community needs, which can include that. So that's one form for people. If you're a part of a co-op, talk to your board members and let them know what you want. And another thing is the city council communication period is a very important tool that people should know about if they don't already. And from my experience, I'm currently living in Vancouver, and I don't know how things work here, and I need to get re-involved and educate myself on that. But in Portland, last time I knew, it was they had five slots at the beginning of every meeting with 3 minutes apiece, and you can talk about just about anything you want.
Very good.
So
very
I wanted
good.
To throw that out for people.
Thank
All
you
right.
for that information.
All right.
Okay, have a great day.
You too, thanks.
And so there it is, civic engagement. Now, we didn't talk as much about recovering of leadership as we would have liked to, and we're going to put that on a back burner and discuss that. And that'll be a future topic. Maybe we'll have that along with Open Forum because we miss our opportunities to sit down and just talk with you. But coming up
yes.
next week.
Next week we have a really great interview with Victor Navasky. He has written the book A Matter of Opinion. You probably know him as a editor, writer, who was at the helm of The Nation for almost 30 years. It's a fascinating memoir. We'll have him here. He'll talk about politics, individuals, and the media, what hopes he have, how things have changed in terms of the media, and whether or not a journal of opinion is still usable in these times.
Well, it's a government run by opinion. Why can't it be a journal of opinion be useful?
Okay.
Hello. Anyway, your opinion does count. Make sure you exercise it in all venues available to us. And one venue is to remain connected and supportive of your community connection, KBOO, 90.7 here in the greater metropolitan area, 91.9 in Points East. And if you're headed south, it's 100.7. On the wonderful World Wide Web, KBOO is at KBOO.fm. Listen, support, be strong, be informed.
Take care. See you next week.
Coming right up, it's the Old Mole Variety Hour. You're tuned to KBOO Portland, and we've got the Radio Zine up next at 10 o'clock on the Food Show. Hear about the nutrition program for women, infants and children. Also a short feature about the Interstate Farmers Market and interview with Farmer John. At 11 o'clock on Democracy Now, an interview with Carol Williams, one of three journalists the U.S. has barred from the military prison at Guantanamo Bay. And New York Times columnist Paul Krugman speaks on the new class war in America. Right now, we're going to go to the Old Mole Variety Hour. By the way,